Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we're heading for the weekend. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. Give us a follow. Also like us on Facebook. Website stevejonesshow.com. Podcast page there with 3 months of shows archived so you can catch up on any show you may have missed. Also, we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, which is available on both iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motor Studio in just a few. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth.
Oh, yes. And already the pickles have gone to good use, by the way.
There you go.
Yes, from our good friends at Brewers Outlet from Wednesday.
By the way, you got to fuel up on some vitamin Y. Yingling Lager and Light 24-pack cans, $14.95, and that special's good through Tuesday at Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
All right, go ahead. Tell the story you told me this morning.
Okay, so
you needed some help, and guess what?
Yeah, I needed some help. Yeah, we were on the phone this morning while I was driving in, and I gave a certain person well over a week's notice I needed some help, and popped in the studio. I didn't tell you this yesterday, but he popped in the studio about a half an hour before our show yesterday. And he's like, we just can't do it. There's other people that are off next Friday, and I can't help you.
And who might that individual of dependability be?
Let's see. He's won the bull picks 3 straight years.
There you go. Yeah,
the awesome voice of Shikellamy Sports.
I'll bet he... good. I have a letter here addressed to the hiring manager of Sunbury Broadcasting. I know some of the first moves I'd make if I were.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of moves, Philadelphia Phillies, they've been making some moves here over the past few hours.
Freddie Galvis gone. Now, what's interesting is some people are making some assumptions. Well, this is it. J.P. Crawford. Okay. Have you considered maybe Manny Machado? I mean, remember, Manny Machado wants to play shortstop. Supposedly, the Phillies are one of the teams that would be in the neighborhood of consideration. Right? Right? Well, if he wants to play shortstop, and the Phillies have an opening at shortstop, maybe it's not so automatic it's J.P. Crawford. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't make that assumption that quickly about Crawford in that position, considering the Phillies are allegedly one of the teams that might be in the running to get Manny Machado.
So in return, the Phillies will be picking up a double-A right-hander.
Yeah, good
Daniel luck. De Los Santos out of San Diego.
That's just moving bodies to move bodies.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, if he turns out to be a heck of a player, okay, so be it. That's fine. But to me, it was that's just moving bodies to move bodies. At least that's how I look at it. Yeah. I think that's all they're doing is they're just moving parts around. And look, the prospect they get, like, you're not going to get the top line Padres prospect that You know, you sit there and go, okay, you know, hey, we just got the steal. For example, like the Pirates might deal Gerrit Cole. Well, the guy that's being brought up in discussion, it would be one of the top prospects in the Yankee organization, and that would be the Frazier kid. So.
And just when you thought that was going to be the only Philly story that popped up this afternoon, here over
now,
the last.
This is a big signing here.
This is huge, yes.
Yeah, Carlos Santana, huge. Getting him, I liked him with the Indians a lot. This was not a small move. This was, in my opinion, a significant move.
3 years, $60
million. And that's the kind of guy that the Phillies should go after. I really, really like that move.
259, 23 home runs, 37 doubles, played 154 out of the 162 for Cleveland last year. 174 home runs in his career in over 1,100 games.
Yeah, no, that was not just a good move. I thought, Sean, that was a great move by Philadelphia. I think Galvis clears space where I think they'll make a run at Manny Machado. If they don't get him, then they'll fall back to J.P. Crawford. I think that's a fair way to look at it. Carlos Santana is a great move for them. That is a great free agent signing that puts a veteran bat that's produced in big games out there with this group. And I think that is, I thought that was a great signing by Philadelphia.
It has total value written all over it, I think.
Well, they've got the money to do it.
Oh, absolutely, and then some. And now they can go for the big move.
I mean, look, the Phillies have not taken a vow of poverty here. They've got cash. And because they have some cash, they can use it. And that's why I was really glad from a Phillies point of view to see them make this move. Why? Because it shows that they are willing to spend some. That's the part. If you're a fan and you want your team to... If you want to give your fan base an idea that you're trying, you move some cash and you spend it on some people. They just did that. They're making their fan base feel like they're doing something. And then I think they've improved their team with what they've done.
As a Phillies fan, I wonder if the team would have made these moves if Pete McCann is still the manager. But that's really a moot point. That's a moot question because Pete's still in the organization.
I think whomever your manager is has very little to do with this. I think this has to do with what the general manager thinks. So the person running the baseball operations is the person making that decision. The manager may be consulted, but in the end has to go along with it. Okay? That's what it comes down to. So I don't think that part really matters. The fact that Gabe Kapler's the manager, he might have a decent handle from his American League experience about what kind of player he thinks he is. But in the end, this is a GM move. The GM move. Brent Pry saying today, nope, I'm in Penn State. I'm coaching the bowl game. I'm in Penn State. Made that declaration today when talking with the media. Bowl media. No Manny Bowen for the bowl game. So Manny Bowen will not be playing in the bowl game. By the way, Billy Napier is leaving Arizona State as the offensive coordinator, and he is going to become the head coach at Louisiana Lafayette. So, again, that now is one that has kind of slid to the side.
Coach Pry must have heard Dick from Milton's call yesterday. Dick was rather concerned about about Brent.
Right. Well, you know, I think fans want to see stability in the staff. That's what they want to see. And remember, Penn State fans have been used to stability in the staff for decades. It was rare when any coach left around here to go someplace else. And, it's a different time, different staff, different climate, different sports culture. It's the way it is. But Brent said, no, I'm at Penn State and I'm coaching the bowl game. He says, let it out there quickly so everybody understood and where it was when he had an opportunity to talk with the media today. And that was it. Now, what's interesting, let's take this one step further. Remember, Herm Edwards was hired as the head coach at Arizona State. And they talked about him being a, quote, CEO. Huh? What the heck is that? Like, in other words, you know, everybody else would essentially do all the work. And, well, if you, you notice, you've noticed since he made that declaration at the press conference, Billy Napier has taken the Lafayette head coaching job as OC, and Phil Bennett quit as the DC. You're saying, well, what job did Phil Bennett take? He didn't take a job. He just left. Because they looked at the situation and said, we're not staying for this. I found that to be enlightening.
One or two things are going to happen at Arizona State. Either they're going to go on a very, very successful run, or it's going to be an absolute bust.
It's going to be, this has all the indications of, you have to be kidding me. It's not that Herm Edwards can't coach. There's no doubt he can coach. I mean, you saw that with the Jets. You saw that with the Chiefs. He can coach. But so far, the approach to this with Arizona State, I mean, the first signing day is coming up next Wednesday. What was the first thing Herm Edwards did after the press conference?
Went back to ESPN to finish up his deal.
Yeah. What?
Which was really weird because he was still at the lectern at Arizona State. Oh, nope, I'll be back at ESPN Wednesday. I did the exact same thing. I go, huh? Shouldn't you be like hunkered down and start banging some phone calls and start bringing some kids in? Or at least get the ball rolling?
You signed a contract. Hey, your contract states you are now the head football coach at Arizona State University. Well, your job is now to be the head football coach at Arizona State University, not to sit on the set with whomever and talk about why Drew Brees should have thrown to the tight end and not the wideout.
That's mind-boggling. You sign, and it's less than a month away from the first day of the early signing period. You'd think at that point you'd go into seclusion, right?
You'd think you'd be out on the recruiting trail, you know, trying to, first of all, secure all the verbals that Arizona State had, right, to keep the class intact, and then think about what can I do in the late signing period. And he went back to Bristol. Well, I can assure you, as somebody who grew up in Connecticut, there isn't a ton of talent in Connecticut, so I don't think he was recruiting there. But now, Napier gets the job at Lafayette. He leaves Arizona State as the offensive coordinator. Okay, that's perfectly understandable. Louisiana Lafayette pays between $1.1 and $1.2 million as a coaching job. It's pretty good. I mean, you think about it. Louisiana Lafayette, it's a pretty good coin. All right, now I'll take it a step further. Phil Bennett, the DC, just flat out left. And Phil has a really, really good reputation. He will land on his feet somewhere. But he looked around and said, I'm not sticking around for this. To me, that's the more illuminating what the heck is going on here deal. Well, we know what the heck's going on. We're brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And again, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, where we strongly encourage you to stock up for the holidays. We also strongly encourage you to maybe think about getting a Brewers Outlet gift card. Makes a great gift. As Jack Ham would say, without a doubt. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Penn's Tavern is where you want to celebrate this holiday season. Whatever feel you're looking for, Penn's Tavern along the Susquehanna River can accommodate your needs. Mountain stone walls and wood floors can be found in the original dining area, giving you that old world charm. Continue back to the newly renovated River Room with 12 PA microbrews on tap. Grab a burger and sit back and relax in this cozy pub area. Penn's Tavern has the best gift certificate offer for the holidays. Buy 5 gift certificates of the same denomination and receive a 6th one free. Penn's Tavern, a piece of heaven on Route 147, 5 miles south of Sunbury.
Joe Rutter, Pittsburgh Tribune, next half hour. We'll talk about the Steelers and the Patriots matchup coming up on Sunday. Final hour of the show, all bowl picks, our annual bowl pick'em show. The three-time defending champion, the suit, who already has bagged Sean on a major project for next week, will be joining us on the show today. How many times does he have to basically pull the football away, Charlie Brown?
Oh, Lucy. Okay, right. Lucy Van.
I mean, how many times does he have to pull the football away, Charlie Brown, before you see things the way I see them?
I think, yeah, it's now like a fool me four times, so it's definitely on me at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like the waiter in the restaurant that runs around, and then all of a sudden everybody after an hour realizes nobody got any food. Like, looks really busy, but, like, well, where's the food? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, well. No.
So, terrific baseball guy Jason Stark just posted this a little while ago. Phillies who have earned $20 million a year in any season. Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay, the late, great Roy Halladay. And now you add to the list Carlos Santana.
I'll tell you, the contract's good size. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But look, the Phillies have cash to play with. They had Ryan Howard's now off the books. Cole Hamels is off the books. Cliff Lee's off the books. I mean, who was the most expensive player in that roster last year? And really, think about it. Who's the most expensive player in that roster last year? Oh, they got rid of Utley, too, whose primary value to the Phillies for the most part was the fact that he signed the suit's kid's arm one day, suit light. That was always my favorite.
Great moment.
It's my favorite player. Well, I can understand why, because I think Chase Utley's really, really good, so I can understand that. The reasoning... Maybe sit back and go, really? Okay. We said, well, haven't you ever sought autographs? He said, no. I never have in my life.
Just not your deal. That was one of the first things I learned about you. Yeah.
Like, you know. Now, if people ask, I do. I, as you know, I sign everything.
It's absolutely not, you do. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, oh, that's what they. But for me personally, I never saw the desire in it. All right, next half hour, Joe Rutter, Pittsburgh Tribune. We will talk about the Steelers-Patriots matchup. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You need to start stocking up for the holidays now. That big holiday week is coming up. You want to make sure if you go someplace, you're not empty-handed. You want to make sure people stop by. You've got something for them. Don't be the suit. Don't expect people to provide for you. I'm sorry, did I slip that in?
Oh, man. He did get you the pickles. It was his turn to get you pickles. He did hook you up.
Oh, he did. He did that.
He surely did.
Oh, obviously on trade. All right, so.
Well, you have a few more weeks till the end of the year to use it up. So.
Our good friends at Brewers Outlet, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. I'm going to cut one up tonight, as a matter of fact, and enjoy. And great specials between now and Tuesday, aren't there, Sean?
Yuengling Lager and Yuengling Light, 24-pack cans, only $14.95.
Great. And don't forget gift cards from Brewers Outlet. Makes a little statement as to how you feel about somebody. We give them a gift card from Brewers Outlet.
And they got the ice coolers right across from the register. So in case you need to grab a few extra things for a party you're hosting or going to tomorrow night, easy convenience.
Absolutely.
Grab the dollies and go.
That's right. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. This happens because of the great people at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, on this day in sports history, Montreal Wanderers and the Montreal Canadiens played an exhibition game for charity in 1917, really to get the official National Hockey League going. It was for relief for Nova Scotia as to why they played the exhibition game. 1925, the third Madison Square Garden opened up on this date. They are now on the fourth Madison Square Garden. That one opened in 1968. That is this day in sports history. Well, we heard from Bob Soci, the play-by-play voice of the Patriots yesterday. Now we're going to hear from Joe Redder, Pittsburgh Tribune, who covers the Steelers on a regular basis, one of the beat writers. Joe, happy holidays to you and welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Happy holidays to you guys. You know, there might be a lot of uncertainty to who's going to be at Penn State, but I think we know who's going to be at Heinz Field on Sunday.
We sure do, as a matter of fact, Joe. What the heck? Who's the quarterback for them? What's his name?
Yeah.
Tom something or other.
Yeah.
Joe, let's talk about the build-up to this. It's interesting, Mike Tomlin, as you know, has a way of approaching and talking about each game in the media with all of you. What has it said to you that even 2-3 weeks ago, he's brought this game up?
Well, you know, it says he's not afraid to look ahead and to not put some undue pressure on himself. I don't know whether he put it on his players, but, he did make it a little more difficult for them to go out and back up his claims, you know, when they had two division games in front of that. But he wasn't afraid to talk about that as well with his friend Tony Dungy. He doesn't do that with us every Tuesday
yeah,
on a weekly
true.
Basis.
Right.
Yeah, you got to be in the inner circle to get that kind of information. But, you know, I guess he's fortunate that they won the next two games. So, you know, they still have the number one seed. Everything for them, you know, can ride on this game. And it's, you know, they face the game in the NFL this season. And I don't think there's another one bigger.
No, there's not. And when you look at, I want to get to the Ryan Shazier part. The good news is he started the path of rehab and so forth. So we think about Ryan Shazier in the human part, not in the football part. Now let's deal with the football part. When you watch the Steelers now play a game trying to compensate for him not being there, what did you see and not see?
Well, you know, you missed Ryan Shazier being there a lot. You know, even when he went out, Tyler Matakavich, his main backup, was, you know, and he expected this, was getting picked on by the Bengals, and then he got hurt. So really they went with three untested guys last week. Sean Spence, who was out of work for 9 weeks until they re-signed him. Arthur Motes, who plays on the outside. And L.J. Fort, who rarely gets in other than special teams. So they kind of had a committee approach to settle that down, and that's what they're going to have to do the rest of the season, you know, especially until Matakavich gets back, and he hasn't practiced this week. So there really is a big hole there. You know, I would think that they might have to do some other things as far as maybe more sub-packages, having less of those inside linebackers on the field to try to compensate for that, because none of those players are anywhere near the equal of Ryan Shazier. And if you put the sum of them together, it still doesn't equal what you get from him on a weekly basis.
Right. Let's be honest about it, Joe. There's maybe only one linebacker in the NFL this season that would have the ability to really give Rob Gronkowski a run for his money covering him as a linebacker. That'd be Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, and you don't have that. And, you know, Gronk, you know, the Steelers had a big conspiracy theorist thinking he should have got a two-game suspension.
Right.
But they said they would never happen because that means he'd have to miss this game. So you're going to have to go with maybe Sean Davis, you know, put a safety on him, because I don't think one of these linebackers is going to be able to match up with him.
And that's exactly right. He's too quick for a linebacker. He's also too big for a safety, which makes it awfully tough. The balance that the Patriots have offensively, Joe, Kenny Britt gets added in now. Well, Kenny Britt doesn't have to carry the load like he did at Tennessee or attempt to do the same thing with Cleveland. He can just be another, quote, one of the guys and one of the options with New England. How difficult is it to defend New England's balance?
Well, I think it's very tough, you know, especially because, you know, Gronkowski's always there, you know, in the periphery, you know, whether he's the main target or not, you know, he's always there. So you have to account for him. You know, you've got Cooks, and they throw guys in there, and like Chris Hogan was the big star of the AFC Championship game last year. You know, they seem to always come up with somebody that can make plays, and they've got to find a way to account for all these players, and then Deion Lewis out of the backfield, he's not not a bad pass catcher either.
Exactly. Let's talk about the Steeler part of it. When you watch them offensively, they've won the last three games on a Chris Boswell kick. What have you liked about them offensively, and what concerns should Steeler fans have about the Steeler offense?
Well, I think the main concern is the fact that if they keep going down and settling for field goals, which is they've had a problem with that in the first half of the year. They've done better. They're putting up more points the last three or four games, which is encouraging. But they had red zone problems. Also converting third down. So that was not an issue against Baltimore. I think they converted 12 of 18, maybe. It was a ridiculously high number. And the last time they beat the Patriots in 2011, they had a similar production on third down. So I think if they can extend drives, keep the clock going, whether it's running or passing, and, get seven instead of three when they get down there, I think they have a chance to dictate the way this game's going to play out.
When you watch Le'Veon Bell, now he's really in full swing as to what's going on. Give us again what you're seeing out of Le'Veon Bell.
Well, they're just, the thing with him right now is they're able to throw him outside and not even line him up in the backfield and use him as a pass catcher that way. And that's, and he's the main option on the checkdowns. If Ben doesn't see his first or second read, he's looking right for Le'Veon. And, he's able to run after the catch and make some things happen. And that's really where he's been most effective in the second half of the year. He really hasn't put together too many big running games. But he's able to, they've been able to get him going different ways, which, also when you have Antonio Brown, teams can't just rely on that one player either.
Ben Roethlisberger, there was a point in early in the season where it seemed like if you had to pick a liability in the offense, at times it was actually him in some ways, which is an odd thing to say. What are you seeing now the last 4 weeks?
Well, he's a much improved player. And there was reason to think he was being a liability because, he threw five interceptions against Jacksonville and then came out afterwards and says, oh, maybe I don't have it anymore. I don't think he necessarily meant that. But, I think if he's looking for sympathy, too, he wasn't getting that either. not with the kind of money he makes. But, they've always said they want your offense to get better as the season goes on, and he's done that. And even, when they've kind of gotten away from Le'Veon Bell running, he's really opened it up passing. I can't remember which game it was. It might have been Green Bay. The first drive they went down, he found six receivers for passes and targeted a seventh, spreading it around. So he's really been on top of his game, getting everybody involved, even the tight ends. So, if you're going to put it up 40, 50, 60 times like he has been the last few weeks, you should put up good numbers. But he has been very accurate.
No question about that. What do you see as being the keys in a game like this? Because the Steelers are in a position they can control their own destiny and get this thing to home field, and this would be a big step. So what would be the keys to getting there?
Well, offensively, I think you got to convert on third downs and keep the clock moving a little bit and win the time of possession. And, defensively, the big challenge has been they really haven't been able to play very good man-to-man defense against New England. Whether they play strictly man-to-man or mix it up with zones, they've got to do some things to disguise the coverage. Having Joe Hayden back would help a lot if he's able to get back out there. But, they've got some young guys other than that in the secondary. And just with, hope that Brady doesn't pick them apart in the middle without Shazier there. Those are the main keys, I would say.
When you've watched Brady, it's always interesting to get the different takes from people that really know the game like you do. When you watch Brady and you've had a chance to see him firsthand, what really does stick out about him?
Poise, mostly. The guy doesn't get rattled. He doesn't like to get hit. Everybody knows that. But he's able to avoid mostly the sacks and mostly getting hit. And he very rarely makes mistakes. And even at 40 years old, he's still doing that. He might not have the arm strength he once did, but he's still making precise passes. And, he's not doing, stupid things like turning the ball over. And, that leads yourself usually to, playing winning football.
One of the areas that you saw that was brought to the front again when it comes to Tom Brady, and a guy that has very few weaknesses, one of them has always been if you're effective with pressure up the middle against him and get into his face. The Dolphins did that the other night. Now they have Ndamukong Suh and a couple of guys that are capable of doing that. Do the Steelers have that capability based on what you've watched this year?
Well, they have. You know, they would need to get a big game from Cam Hayward. The other person is Stephon Tuitt. Hayward's, you know, leading with 9 sacks right now. He's been everything they've asked for this year. Tuitt, though, for a guy that they gave big money to early in the season, now he got hurt right away in the first game, but he really hasn't put up the great numbers that you would expect from a rising star defensive end. Those two guys really got to get some pressure, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, Vince Williams kind of up the middle getting some sacks. I think they might try to sneak him through there and get try to get him after Brady once in a while.
I have to ask you about the Heinz Field effect. You've watched a lot of games there. Why did the Steelers – now, well, everybody plays better at home. Surprisingly, even the Cleveland Browns play a little bit better at home. A little. I don't want to go too far here. But what is it about Heinz Field that you feel like this that makes it an advantage for the Steelers?
Just the atmosphere itself. You know, everybody wearing the black and gold. And, you know, the you could say it's renegade in the fourth quarter that gets the defense fired up. The crowd and the in-game stuff lends itself well to the Steelers and what they're trying to do. And they're just very familiar and comfortable there. They rarely played, but, you know, Jacksonville this year, notwithstanding, they generally do not play bad games at home. So I think that really helps them. I just think they like the atmosphere and feel a lot more comfortable here than anywhere else.
There's an anticipation when a schedule comes out of what a game could be. So the schedule comes out and you see on December 17th, the Steelers are going to play the Patriots at Heinz Field. Wow, that could be a big game. And you and I both know that it feels like 8 times out of 10 the season plays out and it doesn't end up that way. What's it like in the city that it's actually played out that way?
Oh, it's pretty much euphoric. There's so much anticipation for this because it's, you know, like you said, it has matched up the way people thought it would. You know, the Steelers talked about, we got to have the Super Bowl go through Pittsburgh. We got to try to get home field advantage. They knew New England was going to be the biggest challenger. And everything just kind of played out the way they thought it would. And it's here. And Mike Tomlin's excited about this. He wants the players to be excited about it, not be nervous, you know. So, I mean, I think it's all played out, and it's right there for them. And it's, you know, it's the excitement is really everywhere in Pittsburgh, and rightfully so, because you don't get these type of games very often. And the thing is, they could be doing this in another month again if things play out right.
Exactly. Joe, thanks so much. Appreciate the insight very much. Should be enjoyable this weekend.
Sure, anytime.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, the big bowl pick'em segment's coming up. Because there are 40 bowl games, we feel we need the full hour to do it. We're just going to have a lot of fun doing this for the next hour. The suit is the 3-time defending champion. That's what happens when you concentrate more on your picks than maybe on your primary job. Well, what?
I'll give him credit, though. He finished his bowl picks and his prep before I did. So I got to tip his cap to him at least for that. So, but I've been focusing on a lot of other stuff, too. So he's not the only one busy in the building.
You wouldn't know it by the statements. There appears to be only one company savior. All right. So that's coming up. I always enjoy it. I always have a good time with it. Now, by the way, in the overall pick'em, I went from first to last in a hurry. You may now reveal.
Yipes. Yeah, last week for our weekly pick segment. Yeah, Kevin cleaned up 5-1. I was 4-2, and for some unknown reason I'm still trying to figure out, you last week went 1-5.
Disgraceful.
I know. So you've went from the penthouse to the dilly dilly cellar, But there's only, but there's only a 3-game difference between the three of us. I mean, right now you're 53-38, I'm 54-37, and King Kevo is 55-36.
So who's in first? You are?
I'm in second. You have 53. I have 54.
Kevin
has 55.
Back in first.
Yep. Kev's double nickels, 55.
And the suit
for total wins
is now the defending, 3-time defending bowl pick'em champ.
Yeah, I'm going through last year's papers to see what the final results were.
What, there are 41 bowl games last year?
I tanked, so I may even finish the math.
The suit, I think, went 31-39-2 or something like that. It was really good.
He was very good.
I mean, he was all over it. I mean, 39-2. It's kind of a big number. Yeah. It's amazing how numbers can tell a story. I know Roger felt that told the story. Those weren't the numbers they wanted to see. I at least amuse myself on the show, okay? You know, the rest of you may not think it's funny, but... All right. Coming up, Bowl Pick'em. We will start with the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl and finish up with the Sugar Bowl. It's a long journey, but a journey we're going to have some fun with. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, and we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.